Harry Potter and the Orb of Exuberance by Fezzador. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 69. Keeping a Long Overdue Promise. As soon as breakfast was over, Missy Ludwig approached the four young Gryffindors and instructed them to follow her on a guided castle tour. "It's a fair bit larger than Hogwarts," she warned, "but if it's any consolation, the layout is somewhat more straightforward. The mess hall and the library are the two places I'd imagine you'll be spending most of your time, at least outside the Horned Serpent Tower, so we'll go to those places last. Both are a hop, skip, and a jump from your quarters. Now, if you'll come with me, we've got quite a bit of ground to cover today." Nova, who was the last one of the group to make it to the breakfast table, leaned over and whispered to Harry and Othniel, "And you two are going to be meeting me in the choir room again in an hour." The boys shook their heads in dismay. It was only a few minutes before lunchtime when Nova, Harry, and Othniel wrapped up their dance practice, so they headed straight for the mess hall as they had all worked up an appetite. Anna even arched an eyebrow when she noticed the boys were coated with a thin sheen of sweat. "Good heavens, you two look like you've just run a marathon."
"That's one way of putting it," Othniel grumbled as he took his seat. Tallulah even pinched her nose with her index and thumb.
"I don't know what stinkier, you two or the liver and onions we're about to eat." Harry jabbed a thumb in Nova's general direction.
"It's not like you'll be smelling like a bed of roses either after a couple of hours with her."
"Is that the thanks I get after trying to instill a little bit of culture in you two?" scoffed Nova.
"We might thank you after Friday night," Othniel said.
Nova snickered at the boys.
"Speaking of, I plan on securing dates for your roommates later today." Harry tilted his head.
"What do you all have in mind?"
Nova giggled.
"You'll find out." She then turns to Othniel. "As for you, Beckett, I think you ought to save a dance or two for the lovely Miss Granger."
Othniel's jaw dropped.
"But I already..."
"It's okay, Othniel," Tallulah interrupted, waving a hand dismissively. "I'm not jealous, honest. Besides, Anna and I could probably use a breather at some point."
"If you want to get mad at someone, you can get mad at me. I was the one who orchestrated this a while back, along with Harry promising to save a dance or two for Daphne," chimed in Anna.
"It's not fair to them that we'll be enjoying ourselves on the dance floor while they stay on the sidelines all evening. One day, Daphne can tell her children that she once got to dance with Harry Potter. Not many witches will be able to say that."
"And she'll tell them that he was a wonderful dancer," added Nova, who smiled broadly at Harry.
"You really have gotten good at it, mate." She then winked at Othniel.
"You're not totally hopeless either, Beckett."
"Thanks, I guess," mumbled Othniel.
"Speaking of Daphne and her friends, are they not back from their campus tour yet?" Harry wondered aloud, his face turning nearly beet red. "It's been a good couple of hours."
"Lunch literally just started, Harry," replied Anna. "It's a big castle. There's only so much she can show them in just one morning. I'm sure they'll be back any minute."
Scarcely 3 minutes later, Missy led her Gryffindor charges back to the mess hall. All four Hogwarts girls had looks of utter exhaustion on their faces. Harry and Othniel suddenly didn't feel as self-conscious about smelling like their lunch as their British guests all sported somewhat disheveled hair and sweaty brows. Even after a grueling tour, the girls all remained quite upbeat, as they each described their favorite part of the school grounds in turn, leaving out no detail. When lunch was over, the children all returned upstairs to their dormitory, and at least in Harry and Othniel's case, get cleaned up and changed. Anna even offered to teach her British friends to play Egyptian rat screw, which they eagerly accepted. Despite having a limited understanding of the Muggle world, Daphne was the quickest to pick up the game. She had even won a couple of rounds before the afternoon was through. The following day was the Easter feast, the last major banquet of the year, barring the leaving feast. At 5:30, the dining hall was largely assembled, though quite a few students were temporarily sitting at other tables' houses, catching up with friends and classmates that they ordinarily wouldn't be able to outside the classroom and meals. Harry and his friends were at their usual spots at the Horned Serpent table when an oddly familiar Scottish burr interrupted their conversation.
"Thank you for remembering to be in uniform this evening, young ladies," Professor McGonagall told her Gryffindor students. "I trust you've been enjoying your stay so far."
"The best part is the puckerberry juice," giggled Parvati. "I wish we had some back in Scotland."
Old McGonagall smiled wistfully.
"I thought the same thing many years ago, when I came to Ilvermorny for the first time. Unfortunately, it's one of the Pukwudgie's most closely guarded secrets. No amount of pleading and bribing would sway them."
Lavender scrunched her nose.
But what? I've spent some time researching Elder Money in the weeks leading up to our holiday, replied Hermione. Pockwoddies are diminutive, magically inclined beings that are rather analogous to the House Elves of Magical Britain, though their personalities might be somewhat closer to those of the Goblins. They can be described as stubborn and independent, yet honourable and loyal.
Very good, Miss Granger, chuckled McGonagall. She then turned to the horned serpent students surrounding her charges.
Good evening, Miss Harrison. I hope you're finding the company of Miss Greengrass and Miss Granger pleasant so far.
They're wonderful company, Professor, Anna said with a broad smile. It's a good thing I know a muffling charm, otherwise I'd have had a couple of very grumpy roommates this morning. Daphne, Hermione, and I were up chatting past midnight. Normally I'd be in bed well before then, but we just got so lost in conversation.
I suppose I kind of fault you for that, admitted McGonagall. Now today's a school night, so try not to stay up too late, which reminds me.
She turned back to her own students.
I know we're on holiday, but you may attend class this week if you wish.
She smiled sadly at Daphne and Hermione.
Though you're my two most studious pupils, I cannot permit you to attend class with Miss Harrison, as she's a second-year student. Should you decide to attend class, you'll need to follow the Horned Serpent's schedule for first-year students. Their curriculum is much like our own, though there may be a degree of variation in the material they cover and the way they teach.
What other options do we have?
Asked Lavender.
I mean, isn't the point of a holiday to relax?
Always the cheeky one, Miss Brown, laughed McGonagall. Yes, you're more than welcome to unwind during the week, but you really ought to spend at least a little time going over classwork. Most of your classmates back in Great Britain will probably be doing the same, as there are essays to write, not to mention end-of-term exams to prepare for. After all, they're just around the corner.
She smiled at Lavender and Parvati.
You two might not be as academically inclined as Miss Granger, Miss Greengrass, or Miss Harrison, but you have proven to be capable in your own right. An hour or two of schoolwork a day should suffice, I'd imagine.
Now that the quiz bowl season is complete, I'll be more than happy to sit down with you two if you need some pointers, offered Anna. She jerked her head in Othniel's direction. If I can get this kid to be in the top third of his year. Othniel blew Anna a massive raspberry in retaliation. Parvati bit her lip.
So if we do choose to attend class, do we have to be in our robes and uniform? I'd rather be in the comforts of my personal clothes.
I'll leave that to your discretion,
McGonagall replied after pondering for a few fleeting moments. If it were me, I'd be wearing the Gryffindor red and gold.
Don't forget, you're in an academic environment, and more importantly, you're representing Hogwarts.
Her thin lips curved into a smile.
Thank Merlin for the pen pal program. It's been a rousing success so far. That being said, while this may be a few years away, I would like to sponsor an exchange student program, where Hogwarts students may spend a term at Ilvermorny or Beauxbatons, or any of the other major wizarding schools scattered throughout the world. And in return, Hogwarts opens its doors to students from other magical schools.
Don't forget we have mandatory physical training at 6:15 each morning,
chimed in Tallulah.
It's an actual class that we get graded on at the end of term.
Do we have to? Moaned Lavender. I got enough exercise yesterday morning touring this labyrinth.
A little fresh air isn't going to kill you, Miss Brown,
McGonagall said. Truth be told, I wish there was more emphasis on physical fitness at Hogwarts. Some of our students have gotten a little softer in the middle as of late.
I don't think any of us thought about bringing suitable workout attire, admitted Daphne.
I'm not opposed to joining our hosts outside before breakfast, but I really don't want to attempt any major physical activity in our Gryffindor robes.
Anna turned toward her English friend and giggled. I'll talk to Missy about that after dinner. She should be able to provide some loaners that you can use for the week, and she can have them charmed to ensure a proper fit. She usually runs our physical training sessions each morning, Harry elaborated. I'm guessing she showed you where the proving grounds are located during yesterday's tour. Basically, the whole school meets up there shortly after Reveille, and we form up by house. Sometimes each house does its own thing, like for calisthenics, but sometimes all four houses work out together, if it's a jogging day, for instance.
Harry repositioned himself in his seat so as to get more comfortable. He turned his head just a few scant degrees, but it was enough for McGonagall to catch an unmistakable glimpse of the lightning bolt-shaped scar on his forehead. She put a hand over her mouth to conceal a gasp. The boy who lived had been right there the whole time, and only at that moment did she realize it.
Harry? Harry Potter? She murmured.
Harry spun around to face the middle-aged witch clad in emerald green.
Hi there, he replied.
Yeah, that's me.
Gave the witch a strange look.
Do I know you?
McGonagall nodded.
Hello, Harry.
Yes, you do.
In a manner of speaking, she said.
She gestured for Harry to stand up and held him in a firm yet grandmotherly embrace.
You may not remember me, but it was I who spirited you away to North America when you were but a wee bairn. But I handed you off to your Uncle Roger and Aunt Rhonda. I made the promise that I'd see you again one day. I can't believe it's been a full 10 years.
Her normally stoic facade showed only the barest hints of breaking.
For selfish reasons, I'd hoped that you would have chosen Hogwarts. Not only because your family had gone there for generations, but I would have loved to teach you personally. However, you're precisely where you're meant to be, even if that means I won't be there to watch you grow up. I didn't really get to choose where to go to school. My aunt and uncle wanted me to stay in North America, Harry said in a soft voice.
Perhaps when you're a little older, we can explore the possibility of having you visit Hogwarts, offered McGonagall. Most of your family, including your uncle, godfather, and your parents, have left their mark in the annals of our ancient institution.
Harry nodded. I'd like that.
The professor smiled. Very good. Now, I'm afraid I must take my leave, as the feast will commence in a few minutes. We'll catch up again another time.
And with a quick nod, she made her way toward the front of the mess hall and took her seat with the Ilvermorny faculty.
The next morning, the shrill call of reveille at 6 a.m. sharp jolted all of the horned serpents awake. Missy's familiar soprano echoed throughout the girls' side of the dorms. Let's go, horned serpents. We'll be running today, so let's shake a leg.
Ah! Lavender cried out. That stupid trumpet's still ringing in my head. Don't think I could ever get used to this.
Tallulah giggled.
I thought the same thing back in September, but if I can get used to it, so can you.
She then handed Lavender one of the workout uniforms Missy dropped off the night before.
She says they should fit you. Now suck it up, Buttercup.
She turns to Parvati.
Are you doing all right, Parvati?
I guess, mumbled Parvati as she climbed out of bed and took the other seat of workout clothes Tallulah held.
I didn't exactly sign up for this.
Ilvermorny's going to be a little different than what you're used to, agreed Tallulah.
Now don't take all morning. Yeah, 15 minutes to put your workout uniform on and make it down to the proving grounds. Don't worry about looking pretty right now. You're just not going to have time until after 7.
Meanwhile, a couple of doors down, Anna was making sure Daphne and Hermione looked presentable before making their way to the proving grounds. Fortunately, both Gryffindor girls were up almost instantly and were in their borrowed workout uniforms in just a couple of minutes.
Poor Tallulah, giggled Daphne. She's got her work cut out for her. Both Parvati and Lavender like their beauty sleep.
Anna grinned at her friend. So do Gilly and Sabrina. Sometimes I have to light a fire under them to get them going. She pulled her medium russet hair back and tied it up in a poofy ponytail. She then spied Hermione on her bed, brushing her hair.
We're not going to have time for that right now, Hermione, she advised. Do what Daphne and I did. Just tie it back and we can worry about styling it when we get back at 7. We have like 3 or 4 minutes at the most before we need to hightail it to the proving grounds.
Okay, sighed Hermione. I just don't want anyone to laugh at my bushy jungle like they did at Hogwarts.
Anna offered a friendly smile.
You have beautiful hair, Hermione. It doesn't matter if it's in an impeccable halo braid or if it's a bushy jungle, but we're about to work out. Literally nobody's going to care out there. Shoot, lots of girls have poofy hair in the morning, myself included.
Hermione fist-bumped Anna.
Thank you. So, would you be able to charm my hair when we get back?
Anna chortled. The one you really want to talk to is Missy, but I know a thing or two. If time permits, I'll help you out. Throngs of students from all four houses began making their way to the proving grounds and lined up by house. Missy the trustee, whistle in hand, began making her way up and down the pitch to make sure everyone was present and accounted for.
Horned serpents, she announced. Once we're finished with our stretches, we'll be lining up and running sprints this morning and finish things off with a steady jog. If everybody, and I mean everybody, puts forth some effort this morning, we may dismiss a few minutes early.
Several minutes later, the horned serpents lined up at the far end of the pitch. Harry and Othniel were in the first heat, and Anna, Daphne, and Hermione were immediately behind them. Tallulah, Parvati, and Lavender were close to the middle of the pack.
Harry's got some wheels, Anna whispered to Daphne. He's one of the fastest kids in our house.
When Missy blew the whistle, the first heat went full throttle toward the opposite side of the pitch. Harry finished first, and Othniel finished a respectable fourth. Harry even gave Othniel a thumbs up for his effort.
Oh, Merlin, squeaked Daphne. Harry is really fast. He's certainly more athletic than he looks.
I wish I could run like him, admitted Anna. I'm guessing you and Hermione aren't used to running, so just do your best, okay?
Missy blew her silver whistle again and the next heat took off. Anna did quite well, finishing 5th, while Daphne finished 9th and Hermione finished 10th. Not bad. For your first time, panted Anna. Neither of you finished last. Hermione was hunched over, with hands on her hips. How many of these do you have to do? 5 or 6, probably, replied Anna.
Merlin, groaned Daphne. I'm probably going to pass out if we keep this up for too much longer.
For the next 20 minutes, Missy continued blowing her whistle at regular intervals. Poor Daphne and Hermione were panting and wheezing after they finished their 6th and final sprint. Anna reminded them to grab some water, as staying hydrated was crucial. Lack of water could cause someone to pass out. Unfortunately, Tallulah forgot to warn Parvati and Lavender about the dangers of dehydration. Lavender even doubled over and vomited in the grass. Her eyes then rolled up in the back of her head and she fell over unconscious. Parvati wasn't in much better shape, but she managed to stay upright. She was too tired to scream for help, but Tallulah noticed the big glob of vomit and Lavender laying just a couple of feet away from it.
Oh my God, she yelped. Missy, Missy, it's Lavender, she needs help.
Missy dashed over to the three girls straight away. It didn't take her long to figure out that lack of hydration was the reason Lavender keeled over. She gave Tallulah a stern look.
I don't suppose you told your guests that they should be properly hydrated?
Tallulah's face turned red with shame.
I reckon I didn't. Sorry, Missy.
Missy shook her head in disappointment. I'm not the one you should be apologizing to, Miss Slater. She reached into her fanny pack and produced a pack of smelling salts and a small bottle of water. She waved the smelling salts in front of Lavender's nose, who slowly began to sit up. She then offered the younger girl the bottle of water, who looked like she was about to suck it down in one go, but Missy stopped her just before the liquid touched her lips. "Now don't chunk it, just sip it slowly," she advised gently. She then let Lavender drink the rest of the bottle, albeit much more methodically this time.
"Thank you,"
whispered Lavender with genuine appreciation. Missy then reached into her fanny pack again and produced another small bottle of water and offered it to Parvati.
You might not have collapsed like Miss Brown, but you probably weren't all that far off, judging by those sweat stains.
She then smirked. Same thing, don't chug, just sip it nice and steady. Once Parvati took a couple of careful sips of water, Missy took a couple of steps back and smiled. You three, I want you to stay right there for a moment, I'll be right back. Missy blew her whistle and instructed the rest of the Horned Serpents to start jogging on the track for the next 20 minutes before returning to Tallulah, Parvati, and Lavender. Again, she gave Tallulah a stern expression. Tallulah, you're not going to be in trouble, but I want you to understand the gravity of the situation. Hydration or lack thereof can literally be the difference between life and death. You've been working out with us for over 7 months. You really should know better. Tallulah looked downward as tears began to spill.
I know, Missy, I know I really let you down, she sobbed.
Missy sighed.
Then I suppose I need to shoulder some of the blame. I have harped on the importance of hydration this term, but this incident is all the proof I need that our students still aren't taking it seriously enough. Going forward, we'll ensure that all students have access to potable water during physical training.
I'll speak with Professor Fry as soon as I possibly can. She turns toward Lavender. You and Miss Patil may be guests, but I'm still responsible for your safety and well-being during your stay. I'm so sorry this happened. You three may walk the track until I blow the whistle.
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Fezzador. Music is The Chamber by Kevin MacLeod. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.